Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back to the dialogue with Dewa de Boer. This is a standalone interview, one of the last few that we are doing before the show is wrapped up for the year. And we will be back next year again with many more interviews. But I thought that we would start a new series, perhaps, and what I hope will be a series of interviews with leaders of youth wings of political parties. And we've got Keegan Langeveld, who is the leader of Young New Zealand First, with us here today.
Hey, good to be with you.
So give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself. What are you doing as the leader of Young New Zealand First? And maybe expand a little bit on, what is a youth wing? What is Young New Zealand First do and other youth wings maybe? What's their purpose in the political system?
So as you mentioned, my name's Keegan. I'm the chairman of Young New Zealand First. So we're the youth wing for New Zealand First, all members under 30. Our main goal is to advocate for the positions of younger New Zealanders within the party. And this year, I think we've been the most successful at that as we have been for the last few years. I've been chairman for 4 years now. So this year, our role has been a bit more outspoken than it has been in the last few years. We've been advocating certain policy positions at our recent party conference in October. So there we were arguing for things like reform to the education system, regulation for social media for young people, immigration, heritage buildings and statuses. We were advocating for expansive punishment for people that willfully damage that those protected sites. A whole other range of things. We were the most vocal group across the hundreds of delegates there. And yeah, our main role is to try and bridge the New Zealand First message and voice to young people and give that next generational perspective. And yeah, as I said, I think this year's probably been our biggest year. We've been boosted by New Zealand First's return to Parliament, which is great. You know, it's always good to be flourishing, but it's really important that not only to the party, but to our generation, that young people get a say in politics and the direction of party policy and get to have their voice heard.
So there's a joke about New Zealand First that I remember saying, the youth wing, Young New Zealand First, is for under 65s, sort of the joke being New Zealand First is an older party for people who are maybe retired. You've already said what the kind of the age range and limit that you have in the youth wing is. Do you see a big shift then to younger generation in New Zealand First? There seems to be the idea of, well, when all of New Zealand First's older voters die off, then the party is dead. But that's not the impression I'm getting from you. You seem to be quite optimistic about the youth and the new generations coming through the party.
Yeah, I've seen that joke plenty of times as well. I actually had someone on X recently make a very similar joke and mentioned that joining the youth wing, you know, you start 20 going on 40. And I think I joked back that I was born with a whiskey in one hand and a super gold card in the other. But there's definitely, I wouldn't call it a shift because Young New Zealand First have always been there. And a lot of our party leadership is pretty young for politics. I think in terms of general structure, we've probably got some of the youngest leadership teams across all political parties. There's definitely a growing movement of young people rejecting the kind of first past the post mentality that a lot of our parents and their parents grew up with in politics, embracing the ideas of MEP, and that gives them the opportunity to kind of explore different political parties and their ideas. We're growing at a great rate at the moment. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a new wave, a new generation coming to New Zealand First. And this is already quite a lot of us there. It was, I think, this year I led the largest delegation to our party conference that we've ever had for Young New Zealand First, which I just think is an amazing sign of our potential and our future.
You've already sort of hinted at that the youth wings for parties tend to be sort of maybe like factions or lobby groups that sort of function that purpose as a faction and a lobby group within the party. Now, the impression I have had of youth wings from most political parties here is that they tend to be pulling parties to the left. They tend to be more radically liberal, more left wing. If you look at ACT, National, Labour, Greens, and so on, the youth wings tend to be pulling the parties leftward and advocating for more and more progressive causes. Is Young New Zealand First an exception to that, in your opinion?
In the general sense, I would say yes. But, you know, we're centred parties. So we do have some more what would be described as traditional liberal or traditionally left-wing ideas in our founding principles, the things like universal education and healthcare. Those are, you know, more associated with liberal thinking. So we really embrace that classical style of liberal thinking. But, you know, we don't pull our party in any direction or advocate for moving in any direction. New Zealand First is the centre party and we're a centre youth wing. You know, we embrace good ideas and reject bad ones. This doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum they might fit under. If it's a good idea and it's common sense, then it's something that we can back. We just try and, I guess, advocate for a different perspective. You know, what will the policies that the party's debating, what impact will that have on a different generation as opposed to the other generations? I think at our party conference this year, the youngest was 16 and the oldest was 93. So we're a very intergenerational party. And I reject the idea that we're more left-wing or anything than the general membership. But I would still definitely say it's the case for other parties.
Now, one of the issues that New Zealand First has been pushing on has been around restricting puberty blockers and especially access to sex changes for youth, young children, or teenagers and so on. The Ministry of Health has sort of issued some new guidelines, not particularly restricting it, but it seems like there's a change in tune there and they're holding a review the next few months. New Zealand First has sort of seemed to be the party advocating for this, dragging along ACT and National, kicking and screaming. Is there an entrance here or a focus on these social issues, on what's often referred to as the culture wars? Is this a big issue for your party and for the youth wing, something that you've really advocated for and something that you're excited to be pushing further? Or do you see it as maybe detracting from what New Zealand First is doing?
Like you said, it's something that New Zealand First campaigned on. We were hypercritical of it during the campaign. We spoke about the impact that puberty blockers have on young people and the kind of lack of evidence that's now been highlighted in the new Ministry of Health report. So, you know, we really welcome the news. And as you mentioned, there's a review period at the moment. We're hoping to see more restrictions or just progress towards our viewpoint in that space post-consultation period. But, you know, that's something we'll continue to advocate for. It's at the end of the day, it's about protecting young people. And, you know, we don't want to be putting young people through unproven or ineffective procedures in the name of mental health if it's actually not working and it's not doing anything. We're, you know, Wilson's been very clear, we're never an anti-anyone party, but we're about protecting young people, looking after all New Zealanders, and making sure that if there's access to any kind of care, whatever that may be for, that it's safe and effective and there's evidence backing it up. But internationally, that's not the case. You know, more countries are pushing back against the use of puberty blockers. So New Zealand's just another example of that. And I think it'll be very interesting to see what this consultation period comes out with. We certainly know what we would prefer, but...
Do you think then that New Zealand will ban puberty blockers, or is this going to be an issue that you'll have to continue to campaign on? What's your feel from the inside there?
Optimistically, I'd prefer a ban, but if it just means more restrictions, then that's a step in the right direction. Something is better than nothing. You know, we can't leave our young people to essentially be experimented on. You know, they're not social experiments, they're human beings. They deserve every opportunity to succeed in life. And if something's hindering that, any restrictions on that is positive.
So is Young New Zealand First friendly then in general towards social conservatives and so on? I think youth wings tend to have the impression that they're hostile towards conservatives, young conservatives. You would say, you know, welcome, these people are welcome in Young New Zealand First.
Yeah, we welcome anyone and everyone. As New Zealand First overall, we're a very democratic party. I mean, we are one of the only parties that still put up policy ideas to be debated by the members, and there's very few restrictions on what can get through to the floor, and there's no restrictions on who can speak as long as it falls within the rules. So Young New Zealand First echo that. We welcome everyone in. We vigorously debate ideas, and we vote. And then if it lands a certain way, that's the position that we take up. And you know, there's always going to be people that don't agree with everything that a party or a youth wing might do. But at least we know that we're the most authentic about how we make our decisions, the most transparent, and we give everyone a chance to have their voices heard. So, yeah, I mean, we welcome in any viewpoint with the expectation that, you know, just because you feel it doesn't mean everyone's going to agree, and it doesn't mean that that's the position we're going to get to. But we'll work to a compromise, something that's worked for everyone, incorporates everyone's viewpoint. And I don't think we've had any problems with that approach, certainly not while I've been around. So I think it's really effective. And
no regular ideological purges being conducted then, is what you're saying.
No.
And we have had one of New Zealand's young MPs get into global news, international news. Hannah Rawiti Mapi Clark from the Māori Party she's a very young MP, and she did the haka in Parliament, ripped up the Treaty Principles Bill. What impact is that going to have, I guess, for our generation, for younger people in Parliament, when we're seeing this behavior, perhaps a change in approach to politics from these MPs, more so on the left? Are we going to see this kind of representation on the center and on the right? Do we have younger MPs that are going to be more activist oriented? Are we more of an activist generation?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, it is appropriate to acknowledge that Hannah is an electorate MP. She was elected by constituents directly, so she's not coming off the list. So she is expressing herself in the way that she thinks best reflects her constituents. I think anyone that saw that haka in Parliament won't deny that it was impressive and powerful. She's clearly a good singer as well, but it's very much done for TikTok views, for grabbing headlines. It's not a perspective that young people should be embracing. We certainly advocate for a different, more traditional approach to politics, and have a respect for the rules of the House, which, there's been lots of talk about how the Māori Party don't have that in general. She's voicing her party's positions just as we would hope any other young person in Parliament would, but it's an approach that, I mean, I completely reject, and Young New Zealand First completely rejects. There's far better ways to make your point than radical activism. We see a bit from the Greens outside of the House as well. Some of the younger members go to the absolute extreme and get caught up in the craze of activism. But at the end of the day, activism, you know, unless it's a massive social issue the whole country can rally behind, activism doesn't actually achieve that much for people. Working together with a respect for the parliamentary process, advocating strongly but respectfully for your positions is a much more effective way to actually make change. And we'll continue as a youth wing to advocate that approach to politics for young people and kind of reject the soundbite politics that, you see from some of the left-wing parties.
That's a very interesting perspective from you. Thank you. I've heard many different opinions on Hannah and her show in Parliament. I think, as you said, it's targeted at social media, targeted at, you know, but that seems to be a new way of doing politics as well in many other countries, in Europe in particular. You see that more traditional parties, nationalist parties, are using social media and TikTok and so on to kind of reach more voters. So it seems to be effective. It'll be interesting, of course, to see how you would adapt to that, but to do it in a, I guess, a more respectful way to embrace New Zealand's heritage.
Yeah, I mean, social media is an incredibly powerful tool. New Zealand First is doing really great on social media at the moment. Number one political party in New Zealand on YouTube in terms of subscribers. So there's more effective ways that you can utilize social media without resorting to that that level of activism. But yeah, you're right. It's a very incredible tool to reach the public. I mean, that was what a lot of our last campaign was based on. We circumvented traditional media and went to people first and foremost, then to the public forums of social media, you know, the public town square of the internet. And then we went to new wave media or new age media, because at the end of the day, people are rejecting mainstream media, and you have to be able to adapt to what people are actually engaging with. And social media is definitely that.
Now, the key issue, and I might say perhaps the key issue that may have propelled Winston Peters into the and New Zealand First and into the heights that it reached in the past was the issue of immigration into New Zealand, high levels of immigration. Issues facing young people often stem very much from these high levels of immigration, higher house prices and so on, demand, downward pressure on wages, all of these things that maybe some of these more liberal parties say are great for the economy, make more money, an easy way to make money. We've seen how destructive that is for young people trying to get on the property ladder, trying to get on the career ladder. And that has been a very big issue for New Zealand First in the past, but it seemed to kind of have slipped away a little bit in the past, perhaps in particular because National and ACT are very much pro higher numbers of immigration. We've seen probably the highest movement of people into New Zealand and out of New Zealand as well, you know, young New Zealanders giving up, moving overseas to Australia in particular for other opportunities. And under Jacinda Ardern's government, we saw the highest levels of immigration ever. And that sort of has continued. It's slowing now, but in large part because people are leaving too. You know, the net numbers don't look that high, but that's just because so many New Zealanders are leaving. Is that something that you are advocating within the party to put more pressure on the government on this area for young people?
Yeah, so we're definitely concerned about the recent trend of unfocused immigration. You know, modern countries need migration to fill workforce shortages. That's just a reality that we live in these days. But that doesn't mean we should be opening the floodgates to create a, you know, importing a low-wage workforce, because that's what we see. We see a lot of people coming in to get paid less than New Zealanders, and the New Zealanders going offshore because they get paid more over there. But then they still become the low-wage workforce in their destination country. New Zealand First have actually secured a few good immigration commitments in the coalition agreement this time around, including reviewing and addressing the concerns about the unfocused levels of immigration. I believe that for the last 3 months, net migration has been dropping, which is, I guess, overall a positive. You know, it's better than it going up. But you're right, with a lot of people going offshore, so we need to actually make it attractive for them to want to be in New Zealand. One of the biggest things that we see as Young New Zealand First is a lot of our trained higher education graduates heading overseas. So our approach to that, and this is long-standing party policy that we continue to advocate for, is to have student loan write-off schemes. So if you stay, if you're bonded to New Zealand in your profession you studied for, we'll trade off a year of work for a year of study, a student loan debt. So for every year you work, you get one year of your student loan written off. So that's one important step that we think would help keep young people in the country. But we also have to tackle things like crime, fix our healthcare system, because people aren't going to want to stay in the country if they don't feel safe. If they don't feel safe raising a family here, they'll head somewhere where they do. So I think the government's focus on law and order and the stuff that Minister Casey Costello from New Zealand First is doing in that law and order space, that might help stem the flow. If we've got safer communities for people to grow up in or raise families in, then they might be more hesitant to head off to a country where they've got no roots. They might be more willing to foster their roots here at home.
Yeah, certainly a case where you want to create a situation as well where the people who have left might come back and be part of New Zealand and contribute to New Zealand again. And especially that would be much better than having high levels of immigration and so on, to have New Zealanders come back home again. And there needs to be opportunities for them here. There has to be a reason why they would want to be in New Zealand. And yeah, if you look at, I guess, unfortunately, the image that we're now projecting overseas is kind of a bit of a negative one at the moment from those perspectives, right? And so fixing that, fixing the reality of that on the ground, then it'll be a case of rehabilitating New Zealand's image to people who have left, New Zealanders who have given up. It would be great to be able to draw those people back home.
Yeah, 100%. At our party conference, at the conclusion of it, Winston Peters announced the future fund, $100 billion future fund that New Zealand First want to set up. And that's about investment into the country, large-scale projects that are immune from political interference and the changing winds of government. So something like that would create growth, opportunity, workforce needs that we could really promote to bring. We'll keep our young people here and bring people back, particularly from Australia, where a lot of people go over to be tradies. If we're creating well-paid, sustainable jobs for them here, then we might see them returning. So I think if we're looking at how do we attract people back, we have to actually have a very forward-focused thinking, which a lot of people don't tend to have anymore. So I'm really glad to see that New Zealand First is thinking ahead with things like the Future Fund. I mean, the Regional Infrastructure Fund and the Provincial Growth Fund that Shane Jones has headed up are creating countless opportunities in small towns. Opotiki is one of them, where they have the world's largest mussel farm. And that's essentially revived that small town community. So small things like that. Well, it's not really small, but, you know, investment in...
relatively small.
Yeah. So investment in those smaller communities, I think, will actually help keep New Zealand grounded and attractive for young people.
The last question then from me is around tying everything that we've discussed into what you see as the New Zealand identity. I think there's a big kind of identity crisis, the question of identity. What is New Zealand? What are New Zealanders happening at the moment? We've seen it with the Maori Party pursuing more of a separatist policy, separatist approach. You know, if I'm not using that negatively, and I mean that in a neutral sense. And also, obviously, the ACT Party, Labour and National, too, probably pursuing a multicultural policy. What is New Zealand's First goal in terms of an identity, and what does that look like in the future for New Zealand?
Well, at the end of the day, I think our problem as a country in terms of identity is that we don't have people that are proud of the country anymore. You know, nationalism is now seen as a bit of a dirty word. Patriotism is seen as a bit of a dirty word. I think we need to re-embrace those doctrines. You know, we have so much potential as a country to be great. And if we embrace the love of our nation and our people first, and recognize that if you're here in New Zealand, you know, if you're a full legal New Zealander, then everything that we should be doing, we should be doing with you in mind. Like, there's things to be said for, you know, whether we're a bicultural society, multicultural society, but at the end of the day, we need to just be New Zealand. We need to be united in the fact that we have opportunity here. We need to embrace our history, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and move forward together. Otherwise, we'll just keep making the same mistakes, getting into the same arguments, the same problems, and we'll never be able to solve anything. So until we have a position where people actually embrace New Zealand, then I don't think any other questions of identity will really matter, because there'll be no resolution in any way, shape, or form. I am firm of the belief that we do need to re-embrace nationalism and pride in our country, pride in our flag, pride in our country's name, and hopefully Young New Zealand First will be able to bring that perspective to young people and do our bit to foster a proud New Zealand.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today. I'll let you finish up by letting people know if they want to join New Zealand First or if they want to follow you, how do they do that? And to all of the listeners, we've got, I think, one more interview coming up next week, and then that'll be it for the dialogue this year. But we will be back next year, and we'll pick up on these conversations again, and hopefully we'll speak with you again, Keegan, as well.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, if you're anyone interested in New Zealand First or Young New Zealand First, the easiest way to get in contact with us is to head over to our website, www.nzfirst.nz. There's very easy join button there, or email ynzf@nzfirst.nz. And in terms of following us on social media, for New Zealand First, it's either at NZ First or at New Zealand First. And Young New Zealand First is either YNZF or YNZ First. Yeah, it's an exciting time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show, and wish you all the best as well with, you know, what you're doing in your work in Parliament now over the next 2 years. It's been good to see some of the progress this past year, just to actually see a coalition government with coalition, an agreement that's actually listed, you know, with every item listed out, and to be able to go through it and see, okay, yes, this is being done. This still needs to be done. It's quite, I think, a very positive development in New Zealand politics.
I fully agree.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to, or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.